Welcome. This is Raina Nisus, your host of A Season of Caring podcast, where we share stories of hope with family caregivers, breaking through the busyness and loneliness of life to see God even in this season. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to our special guest, Laura Atkins. Laura lives in Seymour, Missouri, with her husband, Scott, and she has a daughter, Harper, that's 12, as well as a 21-year-old son, Hayden, who's married and lives in Warrenton, Missouri. They also have a son named Wyatt, who was diagnosed with Coats Plus syndrome at the age of 10. Prior to his diagnosis, he had symptoms of cerebral palsy that would be typical of someone who was 26 weeks. However, he had an abnormal brain scan, and after genetic testing, they were able to diagnose him. Coats Plus syndrome is a terminal illness that causes calcification in the brain, brittle bones, and gastrointestinal bleeding, all of which Wyatt experienced during his short life. Laura, thank you so much for being willing to come here and share with us a little bit about Wyatt and what caregiving looked like for you during that season.
Yes, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about him and what it looked like in caring for him.
So Wyatt was born at 26 weeks. He was 1 pound, 12 ounces. And we were in the hospital with him for 4 months. And within those 4 months, he was diagnosed with an eye condition. He had to have some surgeries on his eyes. And he had some other surgeries that he had to have. So right off the bat, we were in the hospital and we were dealing with the hospital life and the surgeries. He got to come home and lived a pretty normal life as far as health-wise. He was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, which is common with premature babies. And so he did have some trouble with walking and mobility. So we had to get him some braces and just do the little things like that. It wasn't normal, but it was like expected because he was premature.
Yeah.
And then he actually fell down our stairs when he was 5 and he had a concussion. We had a CT scan done and they found that his whole brain was just covered in calcifications, which was totally normal and couldn't be explained. So from that point, we took trips to St. Louis, which again, you know, having a baby and having a toddler and having a child going to the hospital is not easy. So, but it kind of got, we got used to it. And Wyatt was very, like, he was a very special boy because he was so happy all of the time. And it didn't matter what was going on. If he was having a procedure done or going to a doctor's appointment, he always wanted to make everybody laugh and smile. And he had this thing about him to where he wanted to make sure everybody else around him was okay. And so that always sticks with me because he had that from the time he was little to the time that he passed away. So, you know, after we did see that brain scan, we did notice that he declined as far as physical movements. So at that point, it was just kind of advocating. So whenever you're a parent of a child with special needs, you have to advocate and you have to figure out what you need to advocate for. So, you know, getting equipment for him, because at first we just bought a transport chair off of Amazon. Like, he gets tired easily. We need a transport chair to just move him around. And then it got to the point, okay, well, he needs a wheelchair now because he has to be in it for longer periods of time. He cannot walk anymore because his legs fatigue. So he ended up in the wheelchair. And then, let's see, around the age of 10, right before he got diagnosed, he fell and he broke his leg. And he, you know, we didn't think anything of it and got it casted, it healed. And then after that, he broke the other leg. I think it was the lower leg that broken. From that point on, we dealt with breaks. We would break, we would heal, we would break the same spot again. He broke his tibia, his fibula, he broke his femur. I mean, we had, I don't even know. And it was just in little instant, like he would just fall and it would break. In the meantime, we did get that diagnosis of Coats Plus syndrome. That was done by St. Louis Children's Hospital. We did genetic testing and that's how they found it. They told us at the time that only 10 people in the world was had the diagnosis of this particular syndrome. So it's extremely rare, which made it even harder to know how to care for him because we didn't know what to expect. And at this point, you know, the only symptom that he had of the syndrome was the cognitive decline, which, and when I say that, I mean the brain was, you know, his ability to move and his ability to use his motion was declining. He was losing his ability to speak. So, you know, whereas when he was little, he could talk, he started to not be able to form words because he couldn't get the vocal cords to work or the muscles in his mouth to form the words that he wanted. So that was another big part of it, was trying to figure out ways to communicate with him. So that was difficult. As far as the bones go, the one particular leg that kept re-breaking, and we tried different surgeries, we tried different devices. They tried external fixators, which basically a device that goes around your leg and there's pins that go into the bone itself to hold it together. And they did that twice.
Oh.
Yeah, it was terrible. I would say, you know, talking about caregiving as far as that goes, whenever I felt like I could probably go into a hospital and be a nurse, and I don't have any nurse training. Mm.
Yeah.
Of that type of care. But they did decide, we did decide to amputate. So he did have an amputated leg below the knee. Let's see. After we did that, it was kind of like a big relief because that was kind of what we were dealing with, was the leg. And after the amputation, it gave him just this, he felt better. He was able to just kind of chill and, you know, so that was good. But then not very long after is when the bleeding started. And it's whenever you have a child that has that type of sickness or that type of syndrome, whatever you're dealing with, I guess, you have a way of being in tune to their bodies and how they're acting. And so
yeah.
I kind of could tell, you know, that he wasn't acting right. And we took him to the doctor, and his red blood cell count was like terribly low. And they knew then that he was bleeding internally. So that started a whole new process of bleeding, staying in the hospital for a week, coming home, being okay for a while, bleeding again. So again, you know, just being in the hospital and helping him deal with what's going on and feeling scared yourself, but having to give that reassurance, knowing he's scared, but then at the same time, he's trying to make me feel okay. There's just so many memories, because my husband, unfortunately, you know, somebody has to work and continue to make the money. So he had to work, and I went to the hospital, and just so many days and nights of music, because he absolutely loved to listen to music. And I think that brought him a lot of comfort. And he loved watching SpongeBob. So lots of memories of SpongeBob. Anything
Make
him smile and music.
So it sounds like with the premature birth, there's obviously that scariness of just watching him develop. Is he going to make it? All of that. And then it was like you reach that point, you get to come home and you're thinking, okay, we're kind of doing better, right? The developmentally, he was talking and all those things were in place. But then, like you said, at 5, you started noticing those things. What a long time to go from 5 to 10 before you really knew what was going on. And then once you get that diagnosis, there's no good news with it. So that's really difficult. So it's definitely a really long period of just having to take each thing as it comes and try to figure out how to bring him comfort, how to navigate that as a family. That's a lot.
And it's a roller coaster. And I still remember even when he was probably 3 or 4, I would say. And we were at the pediatrician's office and the pediatrician said, you know, he's probably always going to live with you. And just that statement that he made, it's like, no, he's not. Like, he's going to be okay. He's going to catch up. He was premature. He's going to catch up. He's going to be okay. So yeah, the realization of, you know, between 5 and 10, it was what's happening. Why does he have these calcifications? For a while, did he get a virus when he was in utero? I don't even remember the different possibilities they came up with. Having some type of a terminal genetic illness was never something that I could have imagined until they started to talk about, like, you know, it could be something genetic. But still, I mean, never thought terminal. So
I can't imagine.
It was hard. Yeah, it was really.
And I love how you mentioned just his disposition, because one of the things that I love about God, and I love to remind myself about God, is that nothing ever surprises him. That as a person, I'm always surprised. You know, like you said, it wasn't on my radar. A lot of things surprise me, but I love the fact that God's never surprised, and he's so intentional in everything. And so he made Wyatt just the way he is for a reason, you know, and so share a little bit more about him and just favorite memory.
So I don't even know. I have so many memories of him. Just Wyatt just had this thing where anywhere we would go, his smile would attract everyone around, and everyone, like, we were in our hospital room, everyone came in just to see Wyatt. And it's like, he impacted so many people with his joy and the things that he went through, and to have that just pure joy. I mean, that's what it was. It just exuded from him. And I don't know. I feel so very blessed. And, you know, that's what, whenever I think about, you know, when I'm sad or I'm thinking about the bad things that we went through, is you have to remember that's not what he would want. He would be upset if he knew we were upset, because that's how it was. If anybody was sad, he would get sad. He had so much empathy for a little guy. And you're exactly right. God made him just the way he needed to be. And he was perfect. And I don't know. It was amazing to see him battle through the way that he did.
Well, and it's awesome that memory continues to bless you. And like you said, it's just what you need anytime you're feeling sad or you're feeling overwhelmed, that his memory can help bring you back and bring that joy back. So I love that.
Reaching the end of our caregiving season is so difficult. In some ways, we are oftentimes thankful the struggle that our loved one is going through ending, but most of all, we just miss them so much. I really appreciate Laura being vulnerable and sharing her memories with us of Wyatt. Today's episode has been brought to you by A Season of Caring Podcast. I know you've heard of it. You're listening right now. But can you tell someone else? One of the easiest ways to share a recommendation would be for you to give me a review on this podcast platform you are listening to right now. A few simple words, a rating, can make all the difference in helping another caregiver find the hope that we share in our stories of hope here at A Season of Caring Podcast. So do it right now. Stop right now. Take a minute and just share a review. It would really mean the world to me. Thanks for being one of the listeners. And if you would like to be a guest on A Season of Caring Podcast and share your story of hope, definitely let me know. Email me at Raina, R-A-Y-N-A, @aseasonofcaring.com. I would love to talk to you about sharing your story.
with the listeners of A Season of Caring podcast. Let's get back to our conversation with Laura.
What would you say was one thing that surprised you most about being a caregiver?
I would say, you know, whenever you think about being a caregiver, let me see, how much you rely on people, because it was me and my husband, but we relied on family members so much because you have to do so much whenever you are caring. Whenever he was at home, he got to where, not, it was a little bit, maybe a year before he passed away, it got to where he couldn't really leave the house very much. And so we had to rely on other people's support. But also another surprising thing to me is that it wasn't hard. Like, it was so easy to take care of him, and it was normal to me. And that's kind of what I think about when I look back. It's, my life is completely different now than it was. Mm-hmm. Our lives, like my family's lives, is completely different because we had him. But then it was our life, and it was so easy. And we did it because we had to, but also because that's what we needed to do, you know, for him. We did all kinds of things. We fed him. We bathed him. We, you know, had to, when he got old enough, he had a feeding tube. When he was not able to eat by himself, he couldn't eat anymore. So he had a feeding tube. So we dealt with that. And I look back and like all the things that we did, and like, my gosh, my husband and I look at, we did all these things, and like, I can't believe it, because, you know, it's pretty crazy. But it was easy because it was Wyatt. And yeah, so I guess that's probably the most surprising, is if I hadn't have had him and somebody else would have said the same exact thing that we did, I would have said, how in the world did you do that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, mm-hmm. That's what, yeah, I think.
Well, and I think you use the word natural. And that's one of the things that I remember in caring for my dad. One of the things that worried me the most, both of my parents had Alzheimer's disease. And so when I was younger, I cared for my mom, and I could bathe her and take her to the restroom and feed her and do all of those things. And it was really natural.
Yes.
But as I was significantly older and my dad and I were kind of friends, it just felt like, oh my gosh, I'll never be able to do those things for him. Because it felt like the relationship was going to be different. But in the moment, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was, we needed help, and I'm going to help him. So exactly. I do think that we just see that need and step into it and want to make them as comfortable as possible and not let them struggle and those kind of things. So I do think it can be really natural.
Yes.
So that's a great point. I know God had to be right there with you throughout the journey, but can you think of a special time you could share with us of when God really showed himself to you guys in the middle of your caregiving?
I would say that God showed himself the most to us at the end of Wyatt's life, because of course he was there throughout. And I know, like we talked about, he made Wyatt the way that Wyatt was intentionally. And I feel like that he was always with Wyatt. I feel like Wyatt had a special thing about him. And towards the end, actually, it was 2 days before he passed away, he felt like going outside, which was very special. He got to go out. He had a chair that was motorized. And so he made a trip around the house in his motorized wheelchair. He ran into the fence, which of course was hilarious for him, because, you know, running into the fence was funny. And he kept going, even though he was against the fence. And so that was hilarious. And then he blew bubbles. He enjoyed the sunshine. So he came in and he crawled in his sister's bed, and he thought that was funny because he was hiding from her. So, you know, that happened 2 days before he passed away. And then the day he passed away, and I truly believe that he got the strength from God to do this, because it was over with so quickly. He was anemic so many times, and we had to keep giving blood transfusions. and I could tell that he was anemic, and I wanted to get him some blood. And the hospice, because he was in hospice at this point, and the hospice nurse told me it's not going to do any good to give him more blood. You know, we're just prolonging his life. At that point, he didn't have a life that was, you know, he was just laying in his bed, and he didn't feel good. And he was ready, and I knew he was ready, but we don't want to give up, you know?
Yeah.
And that was so hard. But that day when she told us that he was in the process, family came. He had the strength to give every single family member a hug. I remember he took my hand and he kissed it, which I will never forget that moment. And then my aunt actually knelt down beside his bed and started talking about heaven and who was in heaven. And I feel like, because I had never told Wyatt that he was going to pass away, and that was never a discussion because I didn't want to scare him. So my aunt started talking about heaven, who was going to be there, and Wyatt started crying because he was scared. But then we had the priest was here as well, and he came in and he started praying. And as soon as he started to pray, Wyatt stopped crying. And I feel like he was completely at peace, because after that, he laid there and we hugged on him and we kissed on him, and he passed away at 3 o'clock in the morning that next day. So I feel like God showed us, you know, through comforting him and also just giving him the strength in those last couple of days to do those things. It was pretty amazing.
To make some amazing memories for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing.
How long ago was it, Laura?
He passed away on July 10th of 2021.
I'm sorry. I'm sure he will always be with you, but I'm sure it feels like yesterday in some ways.
Yes. Yep, it does.
And that's part of the crazy thing about grief, I think, is that how much time can pass and how much we can miss them, but at the same time, how much we just feel like we just saw them. So
right.
Grief is a hard thing. Thank you so much for sharing about him. He sounds like such a blessing and so much joy around him. Is there one thing you want to share with caregivers to help them in their caregiving journey? Maybe something you learned either early on or somebody who's later in their journey?
I would just say, don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to rely on people, because other people want to help. So yeah, that would be the biggest advice I would give.
Yeah. It's not an easy thing to do, but you kind of didn't have a choice. How old was your youngest she's 12 now, so she was really young during this whole process.
Yeah, she was young, but she is resilient. Yeah, and that's another thing I will say too, is raising children with a kid that has a disability makes them extra special because they're amazing. And, you know, my daughter Harper, she even took part in the caregiving too. She would, you know, help with his tube feeds. If the machine was beeping, she'd go turn it off. She'd comfort him. So, and my son, everybody, and they're incredible human beings. And I really believe that it teaches compassion and empathy and, you know, so.
Yeah, the empathy and compassion is at a level that some people will never experience whenever it's right there in their home with them and with someone that they love so much. So I'm sure that was really impactful for both of them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Laura, for sharing your story and just sharing a little bit about Wyatt with us. I know as family caregivers, hearing other people's stories help us to relate in a level that other people just can't relate to. So we really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Stories of Hope with Laura, a Season of Caring podcast has been created to share stories of hope for living content, loving well, and caring without regrets. If you have legal, financial, or medical questions, be sure to consult your local professionals and take heart in your season of caring.